So glad that you're here today. We're going to start a new series today for a few weeks called De-Stress. Anyone been stressed out lately? Anyone say just a little bit? Going through a little bit of stress lately? You know what stresses me out? Being a Dallas Cowboys fan can really be stressful in your life. Come on now, any Cowboys fans feel me? You know what I'm talking about? Every year, this is our year. Only to have things happen, and man, it can be stressful living out as a Cowboys fan during the season. Some of you Chiefs fans are like, yeah, no, don't forget, before Patrick Mahomes, what you went through for 50 years. Come on now. Wandering in the desert out there by yourself. It can be stressful. Ups and downs. According to data from the American Institute of Stress, it tells us that 90% of people will live with stress this year. And out of those 90%, 55 of Americans will deal with high stress daily. And one out of three will report in their life that the stress is paralyzing, that it's become so strong in their life that it's begun to paralyze them. So how can we run our race of faith, as we talked about in the last series, our faith walk and running this race of faith? How do we live it out if we're paralyzed? How do we walk it out if we're paralyzed? How do we run our race if we're letting the stress every day in our life keep us paralyzed and slowing us down? 94% of people report having high stress at work. You're not the only one who has a high stressful job. Almost everyone has a high stressful job. We stress about our job. We stress about our money. We stress about the economy. We stress about our family. We stress over our children. We stress over the economy, health problems, safety issues, health issues, sales quotas. I mean, stress is there knocking at our door every day you get up. Stress manifests itself in different ways too, doesn't it? Stress comes out as high anxiety, high worry, even makes someone really irritable. Come on, nudge your spouse and say, he must be preaching to you today. High stress can cause you to be real irritable and have a short fuse. I've been told that can be me at times. It can cause you to have anger issues at times when you're high stress. It also can be the opposite that can be true. Stress can demotivate you. Stress can leave you lacking motivation, bringing you a lack of interest in what you need to do, a lack of energy. Stress really dials up in our life. Either stress can either take you up to 11 or it can bring you down to a zero. But most of the time it amps us up and causes things negative to happen in our life. I read a study this week and I sent it over to Dr. Joseph and asked if this is true. It said that 90% of all sickness and disease can be brought on or related to high stress in our life. 90%. And I text Dr. Joseph, is this really true and accurate? He goes, different studies will give you different amounts. He goes, I wouldn't argue that point of 90%. He goes, but all the studies show it is a high percentage of stress-related things happening. People in the hospital, a lot of it has to do with stress. A lot of sickness and disease that manifests in our life happens because stress. Stress affects our cells, causing them to weaken the immune system, and it causes us to weaken ourselves. And so a lot of stress can bring a lot of sickness in your life. And the question is today, can and how can I eliminate stress in my life? But can I be honest with you today? I know you want to hear some good news. Are you ready for the good news? The good news is this. Stress isn't going away anytime soon. I hate to break it to you. Stress is not leaving anytime soon in our life. Stress will follow you. And you go from one season of stress to a different season of stress. You go from taking care of this problem, now you got to manage this problem. I mean, stress is going to be there. But do we really want stress to go away? Do we really want stress to go away? Let me give you this. I believe incredible stress can produce incredible blessing. Incredible stress produces incredible blessing. We pray and want them babies, don't we? And we love it when our babies are born and we pray for them and get them. And then we're like, oh, will they ever sleep? Oh, how can I afford to raise these children? And stress comes, the stress is there, but the blessing is there as well. The stress of having newborn babies is there, but the blessing of having newborn babies is there. Praying for a new job. Boy, this new job is so stressful. Stress is there, but the blessing is you got a new job and you have a job. It's there. The blessing is there as well. Praying for a new home. You get a new home, like, man, keeping up with this house payment is really stressful. Remodeling this house and keeping the maintenance going in this house, it's really stressful. A lot of things. This is like things are breaking down all the time. Repairs needed. It's stressful. Yeah. Taking care of a house is stressful. But the blessing is you got the house. You have shelter. You got what you prayed for. I don't like having to lose this weight, lower my sugar, and lower my cholesterol. I don't like having to do these things in my health. It's stressful trying to do these things the doctor's wanting me to do. That's stressful. But the benefit is I'm getting healthy. I'm losing weight. I'm feeling better. Things are changing. So with the blessing comes the stress. Oh, man. Working full time. Any college student is one of the stressful, man. Working full time, going to school full time, doing all-nighters, writing your papers and doing your research and keeping up with homework. It is high stress. I remember the days when we didn't have AI to write our papers. We actually had to stay up all night and do them ourselves. Remember those days? Oh, I guess I'm the only one older than dirt. Okay, anyway. But the blessing is I'm getting my degree. The blessing is I'm getting through college. Oh, it's stressful owning my own business, isn't it? Stressful owning their own business, isn't it? Yeah. But the blessing is I'm owning my own business. Hey, I'm a business owner. It comes hand in hand. A lot of stress, but a lot of blessing. See, the goal is not to get rid of stress in our life. The goal becomes how do we manage the stress in our life? That's where we got to learn. I'm not going to get rid of stress. I just got to learn to manage the stress in my life. See, stress helps me get focus. Stress helps me get closer to God. Stress allows me to do things I need to do. Stress makes me live on a budget. Stress makes me eat better. Stress makes me treat my wife better. Stress makes me do things I don't want to do. But stress produces good fruit in my life. And so it's a healthy way of looking at stress. It's not a negative. Why do I have all this stress? Instead, it becomes, I've got this stress, but God, you are bigger than my stress. God, you are bigger than any problem. God, you're going to see me through. And so it's not, do I get rid of stress? It's how do I manage the stress that I have? Do you know what makes vacation so great? How many love vacation? Anybody love vacation? Raise your hand. When we take a vacation, we're like, it was so good to get away from all the stress. That's what makes a vacation great, is slipping away for a few days or a few weeks from the stress. But have you ever noticed somebody who doesn't have a job, they've retired, maybe they've earned enough money, they've gotten enough money saved where they can stop having to work? And they're like, man, I always live this. I'm retiring now. No more stress. And then 6 months later, you see them working some common job somewhere. You're like, well, I thought you had all the money you need. What are you doing working? I was bored. I mean, people who don't have any stress, they go on vacation and go, why am I here? I can do this at home. Yeah, there ain't nothing special about this. I don't have stress at home. I don't have stress here. No big deal. The good thing about vacation is it gets me out of my stress for a few little bit. Then I go back to getting back to where I have to walk it out. What I'm saying is this, stress is always a normal thing in our life. And if you don't have stress, that means you don't have responsibility. You don't have purpose. You don't have things in your life. So stress in itself is not unhealthy. It's how we manage it that either destroys us or it propels us. It either takes us down or it can bring us up to a new level. It either helps us to run from God or it helps us focus in on God and get closer to Him. Stress is important, and how you deal with it in our life is so important. So in this series, we're going to learn how to handle stress the right way. We're going to learn how to find rest in God the right way. So the question now becomes, how can we manage the stress God's way in our life? What's the sweet spot of success and stress? Harold, is it? Write this down. We do what only we can do, and then we trust God to do what only He can do. That's where the sweet spot of stress is, where we gotta lie. John 16:33, this is Jesus' words, not mine, don't get mad. He goes, I've warned you and told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have stress, trouble. That's what He says. In the world, you're gonna have high stressful things in your life. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So we understand this, that Jesus told us, take heart, it's okay to have trouble, you're gonna face it, you're gonna have highly stressful things in your life, but it's okay, I've overcome the world, and you're in me, and I'm in you. And if I've overcome the world, so will you. If I've overcome the trouble, so will you. You are connected to me, and I'm gonna bring you through any high stressful situation in our life. 2 Corinthians now, look what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the stress, the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed. Come on now. Paul, are you serious? We were crushed and overwhelmed, said together, beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely on God, only God, who raises the dead. See, stress in itself, understand this, that it can be very heavy. Matter of fact, Paul wrote, it's really heavy. Have you ever heard someone say this? The Bible says God won't give you more than you can endure. Have you ever heard someone say that? Raise your hand if you heard someone say that before. Okay. Let me tell you, that is partially true. Paul wrote that verse. And Paul said, the Bible will not give you more, God won't give you more temptation than you can endure. The same author said, I was in so much trouble, so much stress, it was beyond what I could endure. I thought I was going to die. I didn't think I was going to get through this. I didn't think I'd make it out of this. So people misquote that. Can I say to you, I believe this today, that I believe that God will put us through or allow us to go through situations that are more than we can bear so that we understand and have no choice but to rely on Him. There's situations, it is more than we can bear. There's situations, it's more than I can handle on my own. But God has given you strength. God has given you endurance. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, I will be with you every step of the way. And so even when you're feeling stressed, you can find rest because I've already overcome your problem. I've already overcome the world. I've already overcome the things you're going through. So walk with me. Trust me, rely on me, put your faith in me, do your faith race with me, do your faith walk with me, because I've already won the race, and as long as you hold my hand through the process, we will walk through anything we have to face. So when you feel like stress is more than you can handle, and it's more than you can bear, what do you do? Write it down. Number one, do what you can do. Do what you can do. 2 Corinthians 1, 9, we just read it. Let's go back to it again. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stop relying on ourselves. And we what? One more time. We learned. We learned to rely on God. Now, understand something. The person who wrote this, Paul, his IQ was so high. One of the most educated people to ever walk the earth. He had an understanding. He had spent time personally with the Holy Spirit. It discipled him, moved him. He had this great encounter with God, and God took him out and spent years revelation, showing him revelation after revelation. He was an intelligent man. He was a highly skilled when it came to understanding theology. He was highly skilled and understood the Old Testament, and he was highly skilled and understood the revelation of the New Testament. And he brought this great revelation, one of the greatest teachers that have ever lived. But yet he said, I had to learn. Through my high stress, I had to learn. See, I mean, you would think he couldn't learn anymore. This man was highly intelligent, but he said, no, I had to learn. See, high stress causes us to learn. I got to do what I can do first. First, I do everything I can do. But God, I need a new job. I'm believing God's going to give me a better job. I believe God's going to open the door. Well, what are you doing? Are you actually going online and putting resumes? Are you knocking on doors? Are you asking to talk to managers? Are you networking? Are you doing everything you can possibly do at this moment? Are you doing everything you need to do? I had to learn. Hard skills, I gotta learn. Sometimes I gotta learn how to budget. I don't like it, but I gotta learn how to budget. I gotta learn how to be softer in my approach. I gotta learn how to control my temper. I got to learn how to control my diet. I got to learn how to lead people well. I've got to learn. It demands of me. So I got to do what I can do first. Paul had more spiritual revelation than anybody else, and he said, I must learn. He had to go to a new level of learning. He had to go to a new level of relying on God. Dr. Cloud writes in his book, Boundaries. If you never read this book, it's a great book if you have a hard time with healthy boundaries in your life. Dr. Cloud writes it like this. He says, in my life, with the boundaries all around, the square all around it, he goes, I got my dreams, my feelings, my faith, my values, my energy, my choices. It's all there in my life, my family. It's all right there. He goes, I'm the gatekeeper to what I let in and let out. And there's people all around me. They got their lives too. And you see the other boxes there. It's important that I set boundaries there. Even though I may be visiting other boxes and visiting other lives and helping other people, I've got to make sure I have healthy boundaries in my life. Can I tell you today that means I can't fix everybody's problems? Some of you are carrying stress because you're trying to fix everybody else's problems and you're carrying them over into your own life. But my family, and I got to do this, and I got this. We want to fix everybody's problems, but I can't fix everybody's problems. I can't carry the weight of a bunch of negativity in my life. I can't carry the weight of people who are constantly negative and then let them come on over into my life and spill over into my life. Pretty soon it's affecting my marriage. It's affecting my family. It's affecting my attitude. It's affecting my worship. It's affecting my time. I can't make people change. Understand, you can't make anybody change. As much as you want to, you can't make anybody change. Only Jesus can make people change. Only a revelation of Jesus can help people change. I can love them, I can serve them, and I can encourage them. I can pray for them. I can show them and model for them a right way to do things. I can help them along, but I can't own everybody else's problems around and expect my life to be able to handle the stress. Some of you are worried about everybody else and you're carrying them over and it's affecting your marriage, it's affecting your family, it's affecting your home, it's affecting your attitude, it's affecting your health. You gotta have healthy boundaries. I know a lot of people over the years of ministry have talked to me and said, Pastor, how do I do this? I'm helping somebody out in the church, or helping a friend out. They're going through a problem. But as I started helping them and they're responding to what I say, now they want to text me all day long at work. They want to call me as soon as I get off of work. They want to come by in my house every night. And it's like they're just trying to, just every time. I'm like, listen, you got to set healthy boundaries. You let them know, you know what? Tuesday at 6 o'clock, I can meet you at the coffee shop for coffee and we can talk then and I'll spend time with you then. But other than that, stop responding to every little text. Stop worrying about every little stressful thing that's happening because they're taking that and now you're taking on their problems and you're bringing it into your home and not setting healthy boundaries for yourself. Can I set somebody free today? Write this down. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no, unless it's Pastor Gene. But everybody else, listen, it's okay to say no to even me sometimes. It's okay to say no. Not because of selfish reasons, but because of boundary reasons. If I say yes to everything, that means I'll say no to the most important things in my life. If I'm saying yes to everybody, then that means I'll have to say no to my family, no to my children, no to my time with God, no to my time of worship, no to serving the church the way I need to, no to volunteering here, no to giving here. I can't do it all. And so if I say yes to everything, that means I'm going to end up saying no to the wrong things. So I thought right to say no sometimes. And number two, write this down. I do what I can do, and then I trust God with the rest. I trust God with the rest. Have you ever seen this quote? Look at this. Oatmeal raisin cookies that look like chocolate chip cookies are the main reason I have trust issues. Anybody here relate? Some of you got some major trust issues in your life, and it goes beyond oatmeal raisin cookies. We have trust issues in our life. See if you can finish your statement. If you want something done right, you got to do it. If that's a motto you live by, you probably have trust issues in your life. I've been there. Well, if I don't do it, it won't be done right. And then I live my life stressed out because I'm trying to do all these things. As a leader, it's better for me to allow somebody else to raise up and do something, even if they can't do it quite as well as I do it. It's okay for them to do that and to lead that. Now I just relieve stress out of my life by allowing them to carry that. And I've given them an opportunity now to spread their wings and fly. And they're going to grow and end up many times end up being such a strong leader because I gave them the opportunity to spread their wings and fly. And then I took the stress off of me. Well, what happens if my boss likes them better than he likes me? What's going to happen is your boss is going to come say, listen, quotas are going up. Sales is going up. Things are going better. Productivity is going up. Great job, leader. I don't know what you're doing to motivate your team, but you're doing an awesome job. It's going to make everybody look good. And in the turn, you're like, man, what a great stress reliever that I don't have to worry about that part of my job any longer. I don't have to worry about this part of ministry any longer. I've delegated it out. Let people lead. Let trust people with other things. Paul said it was just too much the bear. And when you go back and study this, many scholars and theologians who study out Paul's life said Paul really, if you look at his verbiage, he was really on the brink of a nervous breakdown. I mean, he was on the brink of having a mental breakdown. He's losing it. He goes, I couldn't handle it. It was too much. It was too much. The bear. Well, why would that be? What did Paul go through? Well, the Bible says he was beaten with a whip. And on 5 different occasions, he took 39 lashes. Wow. On 3 different occasions, he was beaten and flogged with a cane. On 1 occasion, he was stoned. They tried to kill him with big stones. 3 times he was shipwrecked. I mean, who was piloting his ships? Gilligan and Skipper? What's going on here? 3 different times he was shipwrecked. 1 time he spent a whole day and night out at sea drifting on a piece of driftwood, hoping that the sharks don't eat him, man. Just hoping to make it through the night. Everybody wanted to kill him. He was in prison more times than he was free. He said, I was hungry and I was thirsty often. He said, I was cold and naked often. Here he was trying to plant all these New Testament churches without the age of internet that we have now. So can you imagine the high stress of trying to navigate planting these churches, getting the leaders in alignment, getting the word to them, getting writings to them, getting instruction to them, trying to oversee the overseeing of all this. I mean, high, stressful things. And he said, it was too much. So how do I respond? Look what verse 9 says. He goes, in fact, I thought we was going to die. We expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and we learned to rely on God. We learn to rely on God. Today, I hope that you understand that stress is not going away. It's just, are you learning to manage it well and see stress as a blessing, not a cursing? And see that, you know what? I'm relying on God. Stress makes me rely on God for every area of my life. And so he said, I learned to rely on God. And then he said in verse 10, look at this. And he said, rescue us. God did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. See, going through trouble, going through stress, it produces something in me. It says, my God has never left me. My God is not going to forsake me. My God is still carrying me. My God is pushing me. My God is dragging me. My God is walking next to me. My God's encouraging me. My God is there for me, and he is not going to let me go. He is going to hang on to me. Even though I've gone through some of the hardest seasons of my life, God has always been there. God has always been faithful. God has always seen me through. God has always rescued me. God has always brought me out. And when I remember that and I say, all right, stress, it's okay. My God has not left me. We connect to God on a deeper level when we go through this stress. You know, it was in the very first chapter of the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth. How many days did God create the heavens and the earth? How many days did it take him to create it? 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. Let me ask you, was God tired? Nope. He is limited in his, he's not limited in his power. He's limitless in his power. He doesn't get tired. But he was showing us a pattern how he wants us to live our life. Work for six, have at least one full day off. If you do not have at least one full day off of rest, you're not doing things according to God's pattern for your life. Everybody needs at least one full day off of rest for God to de-stress us and to help us walk through. God showed us the pattern of handling high stress, of handling our work. How do we do this? We work hard. And then we take a full day off, at least one full day off of rest. It's a pattern he wanted us to keep. See, the Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my rock and my savior. The Lord is my shepherd. He is the light and my salvation. He is my fortress and my shield. He is my rock and the power. He is the champion in my life. Today he is my protector and he is slow to anger. He's my helper and he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Today I want you to know he comes to my rescue, and today he is the glorious God set on high. This is our God. So no matter what I go through with stress in my life, I understand my God is not leaving me. As we get ready to close today, I want to tell you a story about a youth pastor. A young youth pastor who was very athletic, very arrogant at times. Had five children. Yeah, that's me. The last two twins didn't know were coming, surprise. And when we had these twins, we had an 8-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. Now we got newborn twins. And to knock it all off, one of them needed a lot of extra medical attention, so we're going back and forth to Children's Mercy at least once or twice a week. So you can imagine, no, the sleep not happening. I remember my wife was going through postpartum depression, trying to help her as much as I could. I had ministry I was over and overseeing, and running back and forth to Kansas City to Children's Mercy. The pressure was getting to me. Lack of sleep was getting to me. Running back and forth. God, I don't understand why my child has to go through this, and why I got to run back and forth to Children's Mercy. I'm serving you, God. This is not fair. Why is my wife, we were helping other people out through depression, why has she got to go through postpartum depression? This is not fair. I remember one day I was heading home from work, and it was more than I could bear. I couldn't drive. I had to pull over to the side of the road. And when I pulled over to the side of the road, this big old manly man here said, God, I can't do this. And I started crying like a little baby in my car. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I need you. And I promise you, as I got those words out, I said, God, I need you. I've never in my life had felt, and then to this day, I think I've ever felt the presence of God feel me as strong as he did at that moment. He came and I could feel the tangible presence of God in my car. And all I could do was lift my hands and cry out to the Lord. And he came to my rescue and he gave me strength and he began to blow energy back into me and focus back into me. He took the burden I was carrying and he took it and I was able to walk lighter and I began to worship and I just cried unto the Lord and he filled me. So much passion and energy and strength that day. I'll never forget it. See, we're never meant to carry it alone. If you're having high stressful moments, it's going to happen. But stop. Say, God, I can't carry this alone. As you stand up across the room, can I invite you just to open your hands up like this to the Lord? All of us across the room. Just stretch your hands like this, opening your hands up to the Lord. Say, God, I can't carry this stress alone. Come on, tell him that. God, I can't carry this stress alone. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I give over my stress. I give over the things I'm carrying. And God, now I give them to you. God, I need you to fill my life. God, I need you to fill my heart. God, I need you to fill my spirit now. God, you're taking away heaviness right now in Jesus' name. And God, you're allowing us to walk in your spirit, which is light. It's easy because, God, our eyes are upon you. God, allow us to focus now on where you're taking us. And God, you've got a hold of us. And God, we are not going to live a victim to high stress every day in our life. But God, we're going to manage it well because you are in charge of our life. So now we hand over stress to you. We hand over heaviness to you. And we say, God, carry this now as we follow after you. In Jesus' name.